Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Discussing Election 2020 with political science students at Dominican. Today I have Annie Sokolowski on with us. Annie, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Glad that you can come on and talk about the latest news surrounding the election and, hitting on topics that I've hit with other students, in terms of COVID and, voter fraud and vote by mail. It's been very interesting dialogues with every student I've talked to, and I hope that we can have a great dialogue as well. I think this is a great way for students at Dominican to hear another voice, just from, outside of, the usual people on the news or usual politicians. I think it's a great way for, students to relate to students in terms of people in political science or, just interest in politics in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, first question for you is, I think the most timely thing right now is Joe Biden is choosing his people for his cabinet. And I wanted to get your thoughts on, some positions that he's already filled or some positions that still need to be filled. And if you guys have discussed this within your classes or your peers.
Yeah, that's basically my extent of knowledge on that has been that they have this woman who's going up for office, and she's someone that the Republicans would find more threatening, so they're gonna probably be trying to take down that nomination. So that's the main news that I've heard about the nominations. I don't know the exact people that are being nominated.
Okay. When you mean, what were you just saying? What do you mean when you say, it's a threat to the Republicans?
Well, cause she's a little bit more, I guess, liberal leaning and has some more progressive ideas out there that might be a little bit too much. And she's the first candidate that we're seeing that really is kind of not just simple and that makes sense, that's a good fit. She's kind of the first thing that's kind of more of a spark. And so I think there's going to be some action stuff happening with her.
Right. In conversations in class, amongst your professor and other peers, what is your guys' insight or, personal opinion of how important, choosing a cabinet is and how important, their role is going to be within the administration?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. Our professor, really stands by the notion that the executive branch, isn't as powerful as we make it out to be, or it's kind of taking on a life of its own recently. So I guess I was in the elections class, and it made me, of course, pay all the more attention to it. But at the same time, I got to know more about the judicial and the legislative branch. And I think it just kind of solidified in my head that it's not as big of a deal as everyone's making it out to be.
Right. There's, in terms of government, there's the checks and balances, and, it's not to give one certain part of it all the power, but we know that you got to have people, below you to help you out. That's the whole deal with the cabinet, is everyone's going to have their certain niche, and there's people that you can go to, for advice, and the people that, can also talk to you about what's going on within the administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moving on to another timely news bit. Joe Biden recently announced, I believe it was last week, that his first 100 days in office, he will have a mask mandate. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm more in support of the masks and the more rules when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I am for it. But of course, I do understand the fears that people have over the government having this much control over us right now.
Yeah, that's sort of been the give and take throughout the whole pandemic. Is, I think, you know, starting out, everyone was, you know, probably a bit scared, you know, just right off the bat when you have the stay-at-home order and, you know, all these restrictions all of a sudden put in place that are disrupting your everyday life. But, you know, after a while, it's, you know, they do see the government is too controlling, you know, whether it's another, you know, stay-at-home order or, you know, the quarantine rules or now 100-day mask mandate. You know, it is getting, it's pressing very hard on the American people. And I think that there's been plenty of backlash because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Lots of protests and stuff.
What are conversations amongst peers for the mask mandate? Is there some that, you know, there's probably a good amount of people that are for it, but is there some that are against it that you have spoken with?
The ones that are against it, like, are the people who tend to, like, lean a little bit more, like, libertarian, the ones that, like, I know, at least, and they're, like, very passionate about it, and, like, I'm just thinking of, like, this one kid in particular who went to my community college before I came over to Dominican, and, yeah, it's just, it's a lot of, like, good points, like, you know, from all sides, like, there are reasons that, like, the government shouldn't have this much power, but, like, at the same time, like, keeping us safe and everything.
Right. I mean, there is a certain line to be drawn in the sand, I think, when it comes to, you know, putting regulations in place to, you know, keep us safe from ourselves, but then there's, you know, other, you know, lines in the sand when it comes to, you know, how much is too much power.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit before we, you know, got on the podcast. You said that have you taken the elections class for political
science?
Yeah,
I was taking it right now.
Okay. If you don't mind, let's go back to, you know, a couple days after the election when, you know, there was all the craziness in terms of, you know, who's going to win, who's going to pull out what state, you know, it more turned into election week than election day.
Yeah.
What was going through your head? You know, did you think that Joe Biden was going to be the clear winner, or did you see?
I mean, for class, we developed like a map where like every single student had like a state and they like decided if Biden or Trump would be the winner in their state. So like by the end of it, I feel like we predicted that Biden would win. And so like, I just felt like that was what was going to happen. Just like a lot of things felt like it was pointing to that, and it happened. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy for me to watch from, you know, a reporter perspective. You know, I'm a journalism major at Dominican. So, you know, I'm watching more from the news angle, from, you know, the breaking news to analysis part of it. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it was a constant, you know, checking Twitter or watching, you know, the news constantly, because, you know, we were all on the edge of our seats for obviously the pick of a winner, and it took a little bit longer than expected. What do you have to say of the election process, that it took so long, then, you know, maybe it shouldn't have?
Yeah, no, I mean, when I was doing my state project, I did Utah, and they were talking about how many years, like, a mail-in ballot would be allowed for, like, the states. Like, basically, like, it had been going on for, like, quite a while, so, like, I just don't know why there were so many, like, concerns raised to, like, the integrity of this election when, like, we've pulled it off, like, many years beforehand. So, like, I was kind of...
Right. I think one of the big things for me is, like, you know, Florida was a key state. It got, you know, they were able to announce their results on election night. And, you know, I think they learned their lesson from the whole, you know, George Bush and Al Gore situation. So they, you know, they made sure to fix their election system in terms of, you know, making sure that they're accurate and then getting the results out on time. And then, you know, so then there were, I'd say a good example on election night of, you know, getting the results in and accurately. And then there was obviously some other states that took a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Is that, do you think that's, you know, a direct line to their, their election process in the state? Or do you think that the mail-in ballots were just so overwhelmingly in this election that everyone knew it might take a little more time?
Yeah, I would have to say the second, I think. I think that we were finishing it. Sorry, I'm like a little bit out of it today.
No worries.
My bad.
Staying on top of the mail-in ballots, I mean, President Trump from, you know, months before the election was, you know, constantly tweeting or reporting that, you know, there's worry about the mail-in ballots, there's fraud this, there's fraud there, here, there, you know, finding ballots that are not, you know, turned into, you know, polling places that they're left in, you know, some random box. What are your thoughts on that?
Just really ridiculous. Like, even my grandparents, like, they're very conservative, and like, they were talking about, like, they're like, oh, did you see all those cartfuls of, like, votes that they found for Trump, like, hidden away? And I was like, I don't know. I think they're being a little ridiculous at this point. Like, I think.
Now, if you hearing about, you know, say, you know, carts of ballots not turned in, or you saw another story of ballots, you know, here or there, did that bring some concern to you, or were you seeing it as maybe a false story? What were your thoughts on those reports?
Primarily, I guess that they're false stories, and I don't know, like, maybe if they had, because I lean a little bit more liberal, and like, I don't know if it's just like my conservative bias within me that, like, I don't know, I hear about these votes like being stolen from like Trump, and like I just think if, like, to get that many people to, like, you know, vote through like a dead person or like something like that, like, or like just like, yeah, there's so many ways to do it, but like, I don't know, I don't really see it like being done, and I don't know if that's just me being like skeptical.
I think there's good points on both sides, I think, of the spectrum. I know, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, especially on Twitter, you know, following days of the election, there's a lot of, like, you know, catchy material, you know, where there's big headlines, or there's, like, you know, this revealing video, and, you know, sometimes it really goes to a dead end. Like, you know, they say, you know, that this person voted, but, you know, they don't live in the state anymore. Well, you know, it turns out, like, the website they were showing was not, like, the official government website. So I think, you know, you initially have to, you know, read the headline, watch the video, and then, you know, I always like to do a little more research of my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd like to see the articles that they had. I mean, I guess I could have asked my grandparents for them, but I was just like...
Right. Yeah, but I think the big thing for me is, like, you know, if you do your research on your own, and then, you know, then you can validate it for yourself. You know, you can't, sometimes you will let the news tell you, you know, what's the news, but then there's other things where, like, you know, maybe you don't believe it, you're really skeptical of it. You know, you do your own research for yourself, kind of deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So another question I've asked the three previous people that I've talked to, and it's been a good conversation out of it. So obviously right after Joe Biden was announced that he was the winner of the election, you know, he formed his own COVID-19 team, like his, you know, you could say his own task force, like what Vice President Pence has done. So now at the point in time where he formed his and Vice President Pence was still doing his, you now have like these conflicting messages, right? You have Vice President Pence telling you one thing and reporting on one thing. And then you have, you know, President-elect Joe Biden, you know, telling you this, telling you that. Do you think that these conflicting messages are not helping but hurting the American people?
The conflicting messages based on, like, our election system success?
I'd say the conflicting messages on, you know, the COVID response.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had this assignment that I did, and it was about how Biden was meeting with, I can't pronounce it, Fauci?
Right.
Yeah. So I was reading that he was meeting with him, and like, just like in, we had to like compare news sources across like a variety of them. Mm-hmm. But the one that I chose, like, it was just really like, it like really stood out. Okay, wait, I'm sorry. I don't know what's, I'm like nervous. I'm like I keep like listening to your questions, and like, I'm sorry if I'm like, I don't know if you can edit this like later, but like,
it's all right.
But like, I don't know, like I'll hear the question and I'll be like, yes, I have a smart response to this, and then I'll start talking, and then I'll just be like, I have no idea where I was going with that at all.
No, so. No, it's all right. This is a raw interview, so it's okay.
Can you try one more time?
Yeah, so, it, you know, just kind of to summarize what I was saying, right? You have the task force that is out of the White House, and yes. Then now you have a task force that runs out of Delaware, you know, for Joe Biden.
Okay. So
you have these conflicting messages. You know, say Mike Pence says today, you don't need masks anymore. You know, we just don't need them. But then you have Joe Biden telling everybody that, you know, when he's on primetime TV, he's saying, you got to put a mask on or, you know, you won't be able to go to the grocery store. So, you know, are these, you know, not saying that has been said, but, you know, these conflicting messages of someone saying one thing, someone saying the other, is that a problem for the American people on who they want to trust, who they want to listen to?
I mean, yeah, I think it just goes back to like the whole polarization again. Like, we're just like setting these people up like against each other. and it's about like such stupid things. Like, some people don't even believe that like COVID is real because of how certain people are like reacting towards it. And it's just, it's kind of crazy. And I'm glad that like Biden is taking over right now, because like, it seems like he takes Fauci's like things like a lot more seriously than Trump has been. And I think like maybe like that's what the American people need, is like this like figure of like someone doing actually like what it is that they're supposed to be doing, and then maybe some of these COVID cases can start going down or something.
Right. My take on it is, you know, whether or not that, you know, you support, you know, Trump's administration, since March, you know, people have tuned in every day to, you know, whether it's, you know, Kayleigh McEnany's press briefing or Dr. Fauci talking on, you know, CNN or 60 Minutes, or, you know, when President Trump gets to the microphone, you know, they may not support him, but, you know, they're for sure listening, because here's your number one news source right here. Here's right from where the source is. The guy who knows everything about what's going on, he's going to tell you, and then you got to digest it. You got to figure out, you know, how to respond to it in your daily life now that there's this huge change. So, you know, you have that aspect of it, but now, you know, President-elect Biden is going to have his aspect on it. And it's going to be, obviously, it's going to be conflicting from what the administration says, you know, in terms of that they're on, you know, different sides of the aisle. But I just thought, in, you know, what I think is that, you know, this divide of thought of, you know, what the future holds for the pandemic is, it's just, you know, it's really, it's spinning people in circles more than I think that it's helping them.
So you think the different viewpoints that are being put out there are the things that are doing the confusing?
Yeah, I just think from a regular, you know, just, you know, an everyday American who's like going to watch, you know, the 4 o'clock news, you're going to get, you know, here's what, you know, Vice President Pence said today at the microphone for the task force. And then you're going to go to, you know, what Joe Biden said. And then now there's this like conflicting message on TV and then in your head. And I don't think that is, you know, I don't think that's going to work out. I mean, when Joe Biden gets, you know, into office, you know, he runs the show now. I just think right now it's premature for him to be setting all this stuff up. And then, you know, he's conflicting with what is coming from the current administration.
Got you. So you think that he should, like, kind of step back for a second until, like, Trump's done?
That was my thinking. That was what I think, you know, possibly. I mean, I don't think it's going to get done now just because, you know, Biden's already rolling. He's, you know, putting people in positions and, you know, chief of staff and press secretary. So, you know, he's already got the ball rolling. But I just, that was my big takeaway, was that I think that just the conflicting message being sent out to the public is not, you know, the healthiest thing we need right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
In terms of our everyday lives, you know, we see, you know, outdoor dining being more, you know, important now than indoor because of, you know, they don't want too many people close together. You know, there's a restriction of how many people, you know, could be in a grocery store, could be, you know, at a bar, you know, stuff like that. You know, there's different, you know, there's guidelines everywhere you go. I think every, you know, every single place is going to have a different thing on the door, whether, you know, how many people can be let into a certain building. You know, what has your experience been like? Just for you personally, because everyone's, you know, going through, you know, a lot of changes in everyday life. What has your experience been like in terms of, you know, dealing with the restrictions and, you know, your thoughts on everything?
With dealing like with the COVID and everything, you mean?
Yeah. Dealing with COVID, or, you know, your thoughts pertaining to all these different restrictions for, you know, different kinds of businesses.
I mean, on a personal level, like, I can say that COVID has been really difficult because, like, I'm just a very restless person when it comes down to it. And so, like, I like to be on the move and, like, doing something. And this has been, like, a real change of pace. And, like, the fact that, like, we're, like, having to suppress ourselves, like, in these matters of just, like, living, like, of just, like, being a person. And then, like, that, like, things are getting stifled out, like your job. Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, it's crazy how, like, it's, like, all intersecting and kind of, like, pulling you down. And yeah, I have not had the best time during COVID, and I actually broke my leg like a month ago, so it got like way worse.
Oh no,
what happened? Yeah,
that stinks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say the same. You know, it's, you know, just like the little thing of, like, you know, you want to go out with, you know, your friends on the weekend, and now it's like, well, you know, what really is there to do just because of the restrictions? You know, it's, you know, I guess, well, you know, we might hang out at someone's house, but, you know, in terms of like going out and doing something, you know, it's just, you know, I think, you know, it depends on where you live. Like, say in Illinois, just, you know, there's the different zones of what's open and what's not. So there is, you know, a limitation of what you can do, but there's always going to be that restriction, right? Like, you can't go to the movies right now, or, like, you know, maybe say, you know, the bowling alley's open, but, you know, they're only allowing 30 people in at a time. You can only have a party of three. You know, I'm not sure of, like, the restrictions there, but I'm just, you know, saying in general, like, you're not, right now you can't go out, and who knows for how much longer you can go out and have the usual time that you used to, you know, just a year ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough for a little more while, but I think it'll be starting to good soon.
And I think what relates to if we're trending up and getting back to normal is the vaccine. Yeah. And there was news yesterday that Pfizer, their vaccine was approved by the FDA. And, you know, who knows the timeline, or, you know, it could be sooner rather than later of when it could be distributed to, like you said earlier in our talk of, you know, the most vulnerable people. They're going to get it first. I think that's, you know, obviously where it should go, because they are the most vulnerable. And if they can get help right away, then they should. What are your take on that?
Yeah, I think so too. I think I don't know, that guy kind of did get into my head, because like part of me is like, oh no, but are we like exposing them to something horrible, you know? Because like we don't know everything there is to know about the vaccine, but at the end of the day, like I'm sure the vaccine is a better off choice than not vaccinating.
Everyone, I mean, the debate of, you know the one of the big debates, like, you know, are you going to vaccinate your kids or not? Yeah. You know, there's people who do, people who don't. So it's always going to be like this continuing debate about it. But I mean, like right away for me, like I'd say my biggest worry about it is like the fastest vaccine like ever created.
Yeah.
You know, it usually takes years and years to get this thing rolling. But I mean, right away you're like, wow. I mean, like you want to credit the, you know, Pfizer and Moderna, all these companies that have, you know, really worked hard on it. So like there's that aspect of it, but then there's the aspect that there's plenty of people who are like, I don't want to take this just because it got here so fast.
Yeah. I really wonder what my grandma, like, she seems to be like someone who would like throw out that little conspiracy, like, oh, don't get vaccinated, but I'm pretty sure she's like down for this one. I think there's such shifting like thoughts with them, like even like I hear like my great grandmother and my grandma talking about like the vaccines, and like my great grandma lives in Poland, and so like it's just different. And she was like trying to talk my grandma into getting the vaccine. She was like, you're still like young, like you'll be okay, but like I shouldn't. So like it's like just different perspectives for them at that point.
Right. And I think that's going to be, I mean, there's already been the debate started about it, but I think that's going to go even further in terms of, you know, whether obviously people are going to support getting it or not. I think there's going to be a lot of them available, and it looks like it, you know, the first drop of them is, you know, I've seen something like 100 million. So that's already a good amount. And, you know, obviously most vulnerable first, but, you know, if we get enough vaccines out there, how quick do you think that there could be, you know, this shift back to normal?
I mean, I keep hearing they're going to be doled out in January.
That's the hope. I think it's like, you know, sooner rather than later kind of deal. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me. I think this just has to do with my leg, because I have a feeling that it's going to be all over in like 3 months, because that's when my leg gets better. And so everything has to be better by then.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so it's not a really like good educated guess. But yeah.
It's a gut response. Yes.
But like that's actually how like I kind of think it's gonna clear up. Like, I mean, like once we have the vaccine, like what else is there really, like if it's working and stuff, like,
yeah, right. There's been obviously a good response in the trial run. And now that's just a trial of, you know, that's not gonna be for the whole population or everyone's, you know, response to the vaccine, but it's, you know, a good first like litmus test in terms of, you know, it looks like it's doing pretty well. So
yeah,
you want to hope that when it gets out to the mass population that it executes the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about a couple theories during our discussion, and There was a lot, you know, being said, especially by, you know, the conservative side, you know, is that, you know, well, if Joe Biden gets elected, then that means, you know, then COVID's going to be over, just because, you know, they've been pressing President Trump on it so hard and criticizing his every move on it, where, you know, once Joe Biden, you know, gets elected, that, you know, maybe there's much criticism, just because, you know, there was so much heavy criticism coming from, you know, the Democrats, that, you know, once Joe, you know, they were saying once Joe gets in there, then, you know, it's, everything's going to kind of calm down for a little bit. You know, there's still maybe a mask mandate, but he's not going to get pressured as much or criticized as much as President Trump. What are your overall thoughts on that?
I mean, are you asking me how I feel about, like, Trump being, like judged, or, like...
More of in term of, you know, what I, the, like, you know, like, the mini theory I related to is that, you know, if Trump got reelected, then it's going to be an even bigger push to, you know, continuing to pressure him in the bad job he's doing, where, you know, if Joe Biden gets elected, then it's, you know, we have, you know, essentially it's like we have our hero. This guy is going to make it all go away, kind of deal.
So you think that because Trump has struggled with the coronavirus before, that we just need, like, a new face?
I mean, I think that's what a general population was getting at. Like, you know, he's done such a poor job, as his critics were saying, that, you know, if Joe Biden gets in, he's going to come in and, you know, put on a mask mandate, or, you know, put restrictions in place. You know, he's said maybe, you know, we lock down again to slow, you know, slow the spread. So in terms of what, I'll spin the question this way, in terms of what, you know, President Biden has said about his response to COVID, what are your thoughts on, you know, things he said about, you know, obviously we touched on the mask mandate earlier, but, you know, what would your response be to say if, you know, he ends up locking us down again, say a few weeks into his, you know, his administration?
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, because Biden is, does take those, like, precautions a lot more seriously than Trump does. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that were to happen. But I think he's gonna, like, try to not have it happen, because, like, that's, like, I feel like it could start up some, like, real tensions for him and, like, the people who didn't vote for him.
Right. So do you mean Trump had, what was the last tally? I mean, was it 78 million people voted for Donald Trump?
No clue.
I think it was right. I believe it was right around that number, 77, 78. So, I mean, that is a big amount of voters that, you know, obviously, you know, voted for Trump. You know, partially one of the thoughts in mind was for anti-lockdowns. And that was one of the driving forces behind, you know, his voters. His voters said, you know, we like what he's done with the economy, and he's not going to lock us down again. I think that was one of the big reasons to vote for him. What do you think?
That Trump wasn't going to lock us down again?
Right. Like, his voters believe that if we vote him in, that we're not going to have another lockdown, where,
yeah,
Joe Biden has talked about a possible lockdown.
Mm-hmm. I think that was definitely, like, a big factor in, like, the people who voted for him, for them. Because that's difficult. I know that there's even with, like, Biden, like, changing to, like, renewable energy, is it, rather than, like, fossil fuels, it just seems like there's, like, so much damage control to, there's so much damage to control, like, after you're doing, like, these big decisions.
Right. And I think that's partially going to be part of his job once he gets into the White House, is, you know, clearing up these certain things, because, you know, he did say, you know, there's have him on tape saying, you know, we want to get rid of fracking. We want to, you know, work it out of what we do. And then, you know, Trump has, you know, confronted him on it, and he goes back on his prior word. So, you know, I've talked about it with previous students and amongst peers that, you know, there's got to be a lot of clarification. There has to be, you know, finding common ground, because, you know, it's one of the, it's what politicians are going to do, you know, regular people, they're going to go back in time for, you know, previous statements, and you can be criticized or you can be hailed for them. So it's going to be, I think, I'd say that's a big part of the job now and in the future is, you know, getting on the same page, you know, keeping the message consistent.
Keeping the message consistent, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the big things.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to finish up the conversation with news coming from, you know, from Trump's team in terms of their continued push for, you know, huge voter fraud in a lot of these states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and all their sworn affidavits of people saying, you know, putting themselves out there and, you know, with these affidavits saying, you know, I saw this, I saw that, this wasn't done right, this, what, you know, this shouldn't have happened. You know, what are your thoughts on all these people coming forward and saying, you know, what they saw at polling places and overall the whole, you know, Trump's whole push of voter fraud and saying that the election will be overturned?
I mean, I just think it's a little ridiculous, and I think it kind of like is like my you're gonna have fun editing this later. You're gonna be like, oh my gosh, she couldn't give me like an answer. No, okay, I don't remember what we were talking about. What was it that we were talking about?
The main thing I was trying to get your response for was just your initial reaction or your reaction as a whole in terms of Trump's legal battle.
Trump's legal.
For voter fraud.
I just think it's crazy. Like, I think to question, like, an institution that you are so, like, wrapped up in, like, the elections, like, we've been doing this for years and, like, we know, I don't know, like, I feel like we know our shit. Like, I feel like we were talking about, like, even, like, cases where, like, maybe this, like, voter fraud, like, okay, yeah, maybe, like, 40 people committed voter fraud. But, like, if these 40 people committed voter fraud, like, there's still nothing to change the actual election. So it's just, like, I'm sure there's, like, some, like, you know, stuff murky in the water, but, like, at the end of the day, like, it's
fine. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. So then, right, so there could be 40, 50. You know, that's obviously a very tiny sample size in terms of the overall numbers or, you know, an overall, say, county or state. What about your response in terms of, you know, hundreds of affidavits, you know, that are being shown on TV? What is your response, you know, to those people? You know, would you believe, you know, some people saying that, you know, yeah, there's some things in this polling place that, you know, didn't go as planned or shouldn't have happened at all?
You mean there's like something going on right now?
Right. Like, would I mean, yeah. Like, do you believe, I mean, what would your stance be? You know, I would, you know, I don't think every polling place is perfect. So I think there's going to be, you know, fraud in every election. And I think that saying came up in my previous interviews is that they did say that there's going to be fraud in every election. It's, you know, we're imperfect people. So there's going to be some mistakes, but from what I'm understanding from you is that you don't see, you know, an overwhelming mistake in terms of overturning the election.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I have a feeling that it's like being overdone. But I don't know if that's just me and my biases, just like with the whole thing.
Got it. Okay. Well, we had a really good conversation, and I appreciate you joining me in talking about the election, you know, voter fraud, and then, you know, we hit on, you know, Joe Biden's cabinet and his decision making there and the mask mandate. I think we hit on a lot of great points in terms of kind of like looking at it as a whole rather than just looking at one certain topic.
Yeah. I have a question for you, but maybe after the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. No problem. Again, thanks for Annie for tuning in, and we will see you next time on the next episode. Thanks for listening. Okay.